Welcome to another edition of Radio Watson, the talk show discussing movies, music, games, and all things pop culture. I'm your host, Buddy Watson, and joining me today is none other than the modern day recluse, Paulie B. How are you, Paulie? You back?
I'm good, man. Yeah, back to back. We're going back to back.
Back to back, son. Like too fast, too furious. It's like two Oscars, too furious. And there was a bit of fury at the Oscars, actually. And of course, we are discussing that. Last week, we discussed our nomination about the nominated best pictures, and we went through those 10 to 1 and kind of gave a little bit of synopsis and kind of our own little micro views on those, and then threw it up with some prediction at the end. So just to get into that, predictions, did you keep track of your prediction scores or anything?
I didn't. I know that you obviously did because you're a stats man. But there was some highs and lows, and I lost track of what was going on. There was a couple of things, that just sort of threw me out of the game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people lost track of what was going on, particularly at the event. And I guess we'll be discussing that in a minute. Yeah, I went from 18 from 23, so I definitely improved on last year's effort. I lost on five categories, three of them being like big categories. Best adapted screenplay, I didn't pick. Best original screenplay, I didn't pick. And of course, I got the best picture winner wrong there. So, and I think the other two were like in the shorts category that I really had no idea, and they were just like guessing based on kind of reading little summaries and stuff and what kind of sounds appealing to me. So I'm pretty happy with that. I'll take 78% strike rate in the predictions, but sadly getting the predictions right and what you want to win are two completely different things, but we'll discuss in a minute. So I guess we need to start with the elephant in the room, right?
I think we have to address it. There's no way you cannot start a podcast and not talk about this.
I know, like, we almost didn't record this. I almost didn't want to record this because I definitely feel like this overshadowed the event. And of course, Coda winning the big one and making a huge upset and winning Best Picture, which we'll get into. But yeah, the biggest talking point and controversy, we have to address it right out of the gate. Paulie. Kristen Stewart got robbed, man.
What? Dude, can you believe this shit?
It's unbelievable. So, of course, Jessica Chastain, she won the Oscar for Best Actress. I didn't see The Eyes of Tammy Faye. You did.
Yeah,
I did. And you weren't so high on it. And just what happened, man?
Okay, well, if you really want to break it down, I think...
I do. We've got unlimited time.
We've got so much time for this. Look... They do it every time. There's a very clear best performance, and they usually give it to some other person. And it's like clockwork, dude. So you called it. I had a lot of hope. I had a bit of faith that maybe, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. I thought maybe this one thing, this one spark of hope, this little bit of light might come through. But you were right. The cynic in you were right. You saw the robbery coming.
That's right. More often than not, when you're deserving of an Oscar, you usually end up winning it for that performance. So, like I was saying in the Oscars not predictions podcast, maybe she'll end up winning it for like Charlie's Angels 2 or Personal Shopper 2, Shop Harder or something. I don't know.
Shop more personal.
It got more personal, yeah. She's Fuck, actually playing.
I would be
she's
down playing for a the ghost shopper too.
She's playing the ghost in Personal Shopper too.
Yeah, now she's the ghost. And someone else is the lead. Lady. Yeah, Florence Pugh is the lead.
First person to win the Oscar with not even like being on camera or having any dialogue, just referenced. Oh, that would be amazing. So, yeah, poor Kristen Stewart. She looked amazing though. Her outfit was. It was a power outfit, she's wearing the shorts, she's defying all the rules and kind of social norms of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable at the Oscars, so.
I think as soon as I saw that outfit, I was like, oh, they're not going to give it to her. They're not going to let her have it.
With the envelope, they're like, they've seen it, like, oh, yep. Shit.
Switch it.
They don't even have a switch on, they open it, they pull out her name, they like-
It's scribbled out, yeah.
Pen. It's like, does anybody get a Bic Biro? We need a Bic- Or we need a magic marker. I'm fucking magic marker. Pulp Fiction later. And then they like rub it out and then they put, Jessica Chastain's name. How do you spell Chastain? Really? A-I-N? Okay. And then they put that there. So, don't give that to who Miss Faye Dunaway or whatever. Make sure she is not reading this, okay? She'll read the crossed out line.
Yeah,
one,
she will.
And then we're in chaos, so.
Then we're in real trouble. And we don't want this, you know, we really want this one to go off without a hitch.
The last thing we want is trouble at this Oscars for sure, so.
We need to tighten. Listen, I'm tightening this ship up. We've had too many of these fuck-ups. We're, this year, no more. I'm not having it.
Nothing can stop us. We have the independent auditors, okay? Everyone's briefed.
We have foreseen any foreseeable outcome, and we have plans in place to keep things on track.
Airtight. Everyone's like shaking hands. Oh, congratulations to you, good sir. Great event. We've done it. Nothing's going to go wrong here.
It's gone off without a hitch.
Yeah. All right, Chris Rock, out you go. So, yeah, Kristen Stewart robbed in our eyes, of course. You know, Jessica Chastain, she's been nominated before. This was probably one of those Oscars where, you know, it's your turn to get one, whether you deserve it. I can't comment because I haven't seen the film. I only just saw Kristen Stewart in Spencer, and I loved that performance. So it's hard for me to say that, whether deserved it or not. And when it comes to these kind of awards, deserved or, like, who comes, it's also subjective, right? So, yeah, maybe, hopefully Kristen Stewart will get her.
It's a very
the sun.
It's a very reasonable take. Whereas I'm like, no, I'm correct, and everyone else is wrong, and I'll fight everybody about it.
Paul's at like Home Depot buying, you know, Paul Dano fucking approved Riddler masks and hardware tools and stuff.
Yeah, next year at the Oscars, like, starts, the host introduced the first category, it cuts to black, and then it's like the mask comes up. It's like, this is a K-Stew fan speaking. These are my demands. Give her best director.
She's not even here. Make her a presenter. Well, Rachel Zegler did get there, so good on her. And she made a funny joke. So, yeah, that was the biggest controversy. Kristen Stewart was robbed in our eyes. I guess, yeah, the second biggest thing that happened in the night, we have to touch on address that.
It. No, you have to. I know before we started recording, you even didn't want to talk about it, but we decided that we had to have something.
I didn't want to talk about it, but I can't sign, so I literally have to talk about it. I want to be a little bit more respectful. But the second biggest thing, Kristen Stewart losing, was Coda makes history and caused a massive upset and won Best Picture. It broke a ton of awards or trivia or whatever that kind of, you know, that's made a bit of history. So Coda was nominated for all three awards. It was nominated, won all three awards it was nominated for: Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Picture, and of course Troy Kotsur with Best Supporting Actor. It became the first picture distributed by a streaming service, of course being on Apple TV Plus, to win Best Picture there, and also the first Sundance film premiere as well. So we spoke a little bit about Coda in the predictions. Just a quick flashback. How do you feel about Coda winning and, taking out the big one?
Yeah, it wasn't my best picture, but it's better than, like, some of the other nominees winning, I think. So, it's fine. And it seems to be a trend where it's like, okay, well, that's... okay, fine.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's awesome. If you know, Power of the Dog, obviously I was cheering for. I felt like that was the movie that I enjoyed the most, and same with yourself that we counted down last week. But we were a bit more not impressed or not as receptive to a lot of the other ones that were nominated. So Coda was up there. I think with our joint list, it was ranked third, only 1 point behind the second ranking of, I think it was. It was Power of the Dog? I can't even remember. But I know it was definitely
it was
one of our top...
It was up there.
It was up there. So, pretty happy for it to win. Like I said before, it broke ground and made history with that win. So, other history-making things that it did, Coda became the first film with less than four nominations to win since Grand Hotel won with just one nomination back in 1932. And that was a year with only eight categories. First, like we said before, first Sundance film to win Best Picture in the era of the preferential ballot. Became the second film to win Best Picture without an editing nomination since Ordinary People in 1981, and the other one being Birdman in 2015. I was surprised when I read that for Birdman not having a nomination for best editing in that year. But then I guess you and me, well, I was talking about it before. It's kind of funny because, you know, it's kind of this one take. You know what were you saying before, Paul, about they watch the film and there's like, how do we yeah, give this yeah, for editing?
Yeah, I just imagine the Academy voters like watching it and being like, we can't give this best editing. There's no cuts in this movie.
Like Alejandro Iñárritu, it's done. It's like, well, that's it. It's we filmed it. It's straight in the can.
Straight in the can. One take. We one taked it. One take. Take curve.
They put it in the can. They like put it into a taxi. This guy goes over, you know, straight to the theater. They put it straight up onto the projector.
It took 123 minutes to make. It's the quickest movie in the history of film.
That's right. Unbelievable. So, yeah, that makes sense. Also became the first film with an August release to win Best Picture in the preferential ballot era. I don't know how much that counts, especially because it's breaking ground with the whole pandemic in the last 2 years, being a streaming-only title. Became the third film in the modern era of BAFTA since 1996 to win a Best Picture Oscar without a Best Picture BAFTA nomination, two others being Braveheart and Million Dollar Baby. God, what a depressing movie. And like we said before, it won all the three awards it was nominated, and the seventh best picture to do a clean sweep. Like, even though it was three,
yeah, it's not.
That's still impressive. It was big categories though. It was adapted.
Yeah,
it was best picture, and I guess it was like a big upset for that to happen. So, but I guess other films that were impressive due to the clean sleep was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, 2004, which was the largest clean sleep in history with 11 awards. Coda's clean sleep was one of the smallest with only Wings, which won two awards in 1929, mm-hmm. and Grand Hotel won in 1932, making smaller clean sleeps. But like I said, that's a era of smaller nominations. And it also became the seventh film to win Best Picture without a Best Picture nomination. So, and only the fourth to do so since 1933. The other films that did win the Best Picture since 1933 that were, you know, didn't have that director nomination was Driving Miss Daisy, which was directed by Bruce Beresford, 1982, Argo, directed by Ben Affleck in 2012, and of course everybody's favorite Best Picture winner, Green Book, directed by Peter Farley in 2018. So Sian, is it Sian? Hedda?
Sian.
Yeah, my pronunciation. Disgusting. Terrible. Once again. Yeah, so she, I guess, joins that rank. But if you spoke to her about director and movie, I feel like she'd want the movie to do it anyway. So very impressive. And then Troy Kotsur. That was a touching moment when he won Best Supporting Actor as well. And yeah, he's kind of speech was quite good, and I'm so happy that he kind of won. So yeah, the first male deaf actor to win an Oscar, and only the second actor ever after his Marley Maitland, who did that for an actress award in the 70s, I think, possibly. I don't have that up here, but I think that's what it was from memory. What an organized show this is. So yeah, Coda, I'm pretty happy for it. There was a lot of hate within a lot of circles for it for some reason, like we're saying before. But
yeah,
I think that just comes down to, once again, who you cheer for. Like we you know, we wanted Chris and Stuart to win, but when the end of the day, it's not like, fuck Jessica Chastain, blah, blah. It's all memes, like, but there are some people out there that are unhinged, man, that are like, fuck this movie, this should never win, this should never win. And
actually,
I'm probably a hypocrite, because in the past, if you like scour my tweets, it's probably like, fuck Green Book, or all this kind of stuff.
Fuck Green Book. Everybody can agree on fuck Green Book. Spike Lee was at the ceremony going, fuck Green Book.
Not my cup of tea.
Actually, so funny. It's funny you say that, because I tweeted out like, oh man, Christian Stewart was robbed, and then like someone who doesn't follow me, never interacted with before on Twitter, like retweeted it and was like, can you shut up please? And I was like, no.
Did they quote retweet you?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And I was like, I don't even know who you are, dude. listen to the podcast.
Which I guess, let's talk about it now. Power of the Dog, it only took out one of its 12 nominations, becoming the first film to win Best Director with no other awards. First one since The Graduate at the 40th Academy Awards in 1962. Of course, Jane Campion winning Best Director, which was kind of one of the favorites to do, but other categories it didn't. Female Best Director back-to-back years, Chloe Zhao with Nomadland last year, so only three to ever do that. I think the other one was Catherine Bigelow, is it?
Catherine Bigelow? Zero Dark Thirty? Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty, yeah.
Yeah, so. Possibly. I'm trying to like enter the Mind Palace right now to find those answers. So
just trying to feel it in the Force.
Feeling it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what do you think of that as a for Jane? And
I mean, I think she deserved it. I think her directing in that, I think the direction in that movie is fucking superb. Yeah, as far as only winning that award, though, like, this is kind of what I feel like the Oscars is about. It's about, you know, more the middle of the road picks than things that are like outstandingly fucking amazing. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more of an independent spirit awards kind of guy. And, you know, I think Power of the Dog is the better movie. Like, if you're looking at things on a technical level, I think Power of the Dog is the better movie, better directed. But, you know, with art, there's all these, how you interact with the art is what you get out of it. So for other people, it can be other things, you know?
I guess the power of maybe feeling the emotions and having that message of family, maybe being a little bit more relatable and touching people and being heartwarming for Coda, as opposed to just like the shock of the ending or having this kind of film that defies normal conventions in its genre. So, sometimes it's just the vibe of the place. So, Power of the Dog, only one from 12, so... Yeah, but I guess you touched on a point there about technical level as well, which brings us to speaking about the third biggest story to come out of the Oscars.
We have to address it. I told you we had to address it. I was telling you at the start of this, you cannot go on to this podcast and not address this.
I know. I didn't want to speak about it because, you know, a lot of these awards were...
You know, you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to... you know, hurt anybody's feelings. You just really want to like do a nice podcast about films sometimes. And I understand that, but I really feel this is a topic that you yourself need to address.
And we've got a runtime that we have to hit. So sometimes, you know, I feel like this could have been done on the pre-podcast. We could have pre-taped this and might maybe cut it in, but I guess it deserves to be discussed right now. And the third biggest talking point of the Oscars is, of course, June. Carving up, really like dominating, winning the most Oscars of the night. It won 6 of its 10 categories. And like you were saying before about Power of the Dog, on a technical level, a technical marvel. It was special effects, editing, cinematography. Of course, Australia's Greg Fraser, sound, production design, and also original score. So what do you make of June winning those awards?
Well, any problems I have with Dune are not on a technical level. Like that movie is meticulously like made by craftsmen. I think it's probably insulting they didn't show Hans Zimmer getting his Oscar, did they?
I don't think so, no.
That's pretty fucking insulting, dude.
He's won before, you know, who cares? No, it's like you were saying before, it's very offensive that, once again, this is a show about celebrating the industry, celebrating people behind the industry and what they kind of contribute, and to have the 8 awards, you know, pre-taped or not awarded live. If their reason to do that was to save time and kind of make it manageable in this kind of era where they wanted to fit it in on TV and we didn't have the live production power to be able to do that, fine, do the pre-tapes. Even some of them were pre-taped and then shown after ad breaks or were kind of intersected anyway, where you still got to see words, but then some of them weren't. It was like a shit show. So, you know, and then the awards ended up going over anyway and felt quite long. So why don't... It's just not working. Maybe just do the awards live next time.
Just do it like fucking... If the problem is trying to fit it on like ABC or whatever network, Just put it on put it on Twitch, man. Stop being a little bitch about it. Fucking.
You want to get the Academy to put the awards on Twitch.
Put it on YouTube, bro. I think it is on YouTube. You can watch it live on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck the networks. Give it to... Put it live on Netflix, Amazon, Apple, all at the same time.
All the purists.
And you know
all
what?
The purists
and
dying in their grave.
Exactly. And have all the past awards available on all the streaming services that you can go back and watch if you feel like watching it. Maybe I want to see Billy Crystal in the 90s hosting the Oscars, you know?
Yeah, maybe. There's some moments we want to see. There's probably some moments we don't want to see. So, Crash. All right. June cleaning up was fantastic. I think we kind of, you gave June a 3.5 stars. I think I gave it 4.5 stars. It's funny. Like, I kind of agree with a lot of what you say about June, but like I said, just like, and you probably also agree with me, like the technical masterpiece, you know? It's definitely, it feels like it sucks though that Denis Villeneuve didn't like get a nod for director. It's weird, but it kind of feels like that movie is just, it doesn't have one massive like superstar player. It's just like the sum of all its parts is what makes it kind of great.
Yeah. I kind of feel like there's just no rhyme or reason to like any of it anymore. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can be the director of one of the most technically awarded films of the year and not get a nod. It doesn't really make any sense, does it? People talk about it all the time. Like, if a pitcher can win best pitcher, then shouldn't it automatically win best director? I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
We've seen it defy the odds before, and I guess the writing was on the wall when Coda won adapted screenplay and upset Power of the Dog there. It was kind of like, all right, well, Coda won this. Now it's kind of, has this spoiled the end result? So I don't know. And we had to wait for that to happen. I don't know. They should get better at ordering stuff, because if they say they knew Coda was going to win best screenplay, adapted screenplay, and that's like a spoiler to what the best film is, even though you have actress and actor later, maybe they like get creative and they're like, all right, well, we're going to hold off the awards, and then they do actor, actress, and then they do original screen, like they do, the next award is original screenplay, and like everyone's like,
we don't know what order it's coming in.
we know, so we say that's the last three Oscars. They're like, and it's the host midway is like, and to let you know that the winner of adapted screenplay or original screenplay also goes on to win best Oscar tonight, look out. So later on it's like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, three awards to go. The next award is for original screenplay, and everyone's like, oh my god, the field just got cut down to half now. It's like, oh shit, the winner's going to come from adapted screenplay. And then like they come out and like with two envelopes, like two belts, like two wrestling belts. And they're like, all right, we're now presenting the award for best adapted screenplay, which also wins best Oscar. Like, put it together. It's a jigsaw puzzle. Like, it's just one name and it's like cut in half. And the hosts have to like piece it together. Poor Faye Dunaway.
No, they like they just tip it out and it's a bunch of letters like cut out individually and have to like work it out on the fly, and the crowd's interacting with them while they're doing
there's
it.
There's a
like,
timer.
Yeah,
there's
also
a timer.
Doom, 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 doom. and if
Jeopardy.
And if they don't get it in the time, they have all the nominees like lined up against the wall.
with alternate envelopes. They all lined up on the wall with alternate envelopes, well, with another winner.
I'm sorry, Warren Beatty, you've run out of time, and that means we're going to have to shoot Peter Farrelly.
It's got dark.
It's terrible. That was terrible.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Speaking of dark, though, the fourth... We've got to speak about it. Finally, the fourth biggest...
We got to get to it.
Talking point. The fourth biggest talking point of the show, of the Oscars that everybody was talking about, of course, was just the show itself and the structure this year and the whole shebang, the whole production of it, of course. So,
how'd you feel about it? How'd you feel about it?
How did I feel about it? I watched the whole thing and it's just, I don't know, like, annoying. Like, first of all, I don't like Amy Schumer, so maybe there's a little bit of biased from there, from me. I just don't find her funny. There was a few laughs there, which I was actually surprised. I really do like Wanda Sykes, and I don't really haven't seen too much of Regina Hall at all. But there were things that really annoyed me, like they. Well, first of all, DJ Khaled. I was upset that he was even like a presenter after, you know, him not eating pussy, and we should need to cancel him.
Yeah,
he was only there for 30 seconds.
If anybody needs to be cancelled.
It's him. And he was only there for 30 seconds at the start to walk over across the stage and introduce the three girls. And I'm like, why the fuck are you here?
Did he have like red carpet duties beforehand, or is that the only thing he did?
I don't know, but he was like listed as a presenter, and he was like literally walked on and goes, here's the three hosts. Yeah. And I'm like, that better be all I see of you. And if it is, why were you even here, you son of a bitch?
They should have pulled
woman,
him.
You woman hater.
They should have pulled him back out for Best Picture. And now presenting Best Picture, DJ Khaled. Another one.
I don't even know what he does, so I can't even mimic his fucking his things. DJ Khaled. No, that's Jason Derulo. So, yeah, first of all, the hosts, I didn't really... I just think three hosts, it's too many. They kind of popped out here and there. And the whole, like, structure of the hosts doing, like, stand-up bits, making fun of all the celebrities. Like, Amy Schumer, I know that the bit she did with Kirsten Dunst was... kind of Kirsten Dunst knew about that, but the whole seat filler thing, and I'm like, whether she knows about it's in on it, it's just not a funny bit, and it's awkward, and I know the bit is her not to know that who Kirsten Dunst is, and if she is in on the bit, it still sucks. The bit whole like sucks.
It wasn't
really
good.
No reason for it to be there. It's not good. And then other stuff that like Wanda Sykes going through the, you know, the museum of or whatever they've, you know, erected recently. That was cool to see that, but it was like, this is just an ad for this thing. And I know we've got a big platform and a big stage here, but I can't help but think all these little skits and things like that are just time taken away from people doing speeches or the in memorandum type stuff or anything like that. Like the little celebrations that they did with anniversaries, like The Godfather, you know, Francis Ford Coppola, De Niro and Pacino coming out. I thought that was awesome. You know, we had other celebrations, White Man Can't Jump, Pulp Fiction as well. I thought those were all really cool to celebrate anniversaries and have them as presenters. I'm like, this is a cool little moment, and maybe they need to do more of this. I'm celebrating cinema, the industry, and its anniversaries, and it's kind of past, and they're doing the present now. So those little nods and touches, I thought they were quite good, and I wanted more of that. But everything else kind of was a bit like meh. The in memorandum thing, I know they were trying to like be more upbeat this year and have more upbeat music and the images of people that have passed on in the background, but it was just so jarring to have that. And I know that it was like they wanted to spin it into like more of a celebration of life, but I feel like the upbeat music kind of like took away any kind of like feeling or like what's like emotion towards those people and kind of reminiscing about their memories. It was kind of distracting, so I really wasn't a fan of that either. And then of course the, you know, the other thing was like being so disrespectful to Ryosuke Hamaguchi and kind of ushering him off stage and playing him off immediately. I know people didn't like that, and that sucked because he had that long pause at first, and I think, I don't know if it's a producer or the band, like kind of like, oh shit, he's done, quickly start music up. And then he was like, no, I've got more, and they're like, oh, he's got more, should we fucked up. And then he did another long pause after that, and they're like, okay, he's ended now. So I think there was like a communication breakdown or a misunderstanding, a cultural misunderstanding there. And that is really poor on whoever is like looking at that and live producing it, whether that's the band making their audible cues or the producers
that's
on
the director.
Side.
That's the director.
That's the director. I don't think it was like a time thing, like, oh, we need to rush him on, we're out of time here. I like, they fucked up the cue.
Yeah, that's the director calling it based on watching it live, going, all right, he's done, stop playing, go,
like,
we're getting him out
like,
of here.
Oh, yeah. He's done the pause. Like, that's just poor cultural awareness, and it just shows how domesticated the Oscars kind of still are.
I think the whole playing people off is just...
I hate it.
You gave him an award, let him speak. If they speak, if they want to do an hour 45 If they got a, if they got an hour 45 of tight material, let them up. Let them do it. Like, what? It's not like you guys have to get up and go to your 9 to 5 tomorrow. You're actors. We got
Jerry Seinfeld out there winning like an Oscar for like fucking B-movie. He's like up there. What's the deal with the statue? He's a man. He's gold. And like doing a whole fucking stand-up set.
And you know what? They should just have a row of like everyday people. Not at the front, but like three rows back with tomatoes. And if the speech is going too long, they should just indicate that by hurling those tomatoes at whoever's talking. And I think that's
very nice.
Like, I think that's very real, medieval. I think we need to, you know, bring it back to the people.
And they're all wearing like medieval gowns.
Yeah,
like,
no, we'll get really, a time machine. We'll pull them from medieval times. Not explain really, to them what's going on.
You got Ridley Scott in that role as well.
They're just yelling at people because they didn't like his bad movie.
Subjective. I like the movie. But yeah, like you were saying before, like looking at the Oscars, like you didn't even watch it. You're just seeing highlights. You're seeing some of these cringe moments with the host and some of the poor jokes, the poor structure, people getting played off. People getting robbed. Yeah.
Highway robbery. Unbelievable. Can't believe they allowed that. There's no police action, nothing.
The winner is Jessica Chastain. They're like, whoever's out the back, like the auditors, like just get thrown onto the stage, like handcuffed, like
taken. Getting dragged out.
And dragged out. Like from the crowd, they like start cherry picking Oscar members, like from the board or whatever. Like start, it's like fucking this like raid.
Yeah,
it's just like a raid.
Men in trench coats and fucking SWAT team
coming in. But yeah, you kind of like alluded to before that maybe the Oscars just aren't for you now, right? So
yeah, I think you know how like when you first start liking movies. And you're when you first like fuck this is
no
this-
I don't like movies.
Okay, well when I first started liking movies and you start being like dude I love this shit I live for it and your taste is really like narrow and you haven't seen a lot of things so you just go see whatever's out and you go oh, I like this I didn't like that and your favorite movies are probably not the best movies.
Yeah, and then like you fast forward like 10, 20 years, and, your favorite and things movies change. Then aren't the same now.
And your knowledge of film changes and what you appreciate in movies changes and shit like that. And it feels like maybe the Oscars are still holding on to this place in the middle where they want to appeal to not only people who love and celebrate film, but also people who are like the average casual moviegoer who don't know about any other, like, don't know what the fuck a BAFTA is or don't know what, you know, the Independent Spirit Awards are and just understand that these are the Oscars. This is like the Super Bowl for movies and trying to draw them in. I don't know. Maybe I've outgrown it. Maybe I'm a pretentious indie fuck. I'm sitting here in my A24 shorts, so no, that's probably...
No, never. Not you.
Yeah. Maybe, it's just not for me anymore.
Yeah, the problem is the commercial reality of it. Okay, so they needed to cut down the time to, you know, 3 hours or whatever. It's showing on a network, ABC. They pre-record the you know, these 8 Oscars so that they know how timed they are. They can shuffle them into the show. Then they can sell ad space, I'm guessing, so they can have the proper right commercials. And that's where Super Bowl's making its big money, paying the big money here. I don't know if people are paying the big money to get on this coverage based on the Oscars ratings, but obviously they want to be able to charge as much as possible that they can, so they need the ratings to be up, so they're doing everything they can to do that. Of course, they had this year with the Popular Award or fucking Best Movie Moment or some stuff, and it was so weird seeing those kind of announced, even though they don't get Oscars, it was just like a hashtag fucking award or whatever, with Zack Snyder and all the Snyder marks.
The people came out for him, yeah.
Came out for him, so you know they created that award for Spider-Man to lose by what it looks like. So, but the crowd didn't even cheer that. Like they cut back to the crowd, they're not even cheering it. Like no one in that room. Like yeah.
Crowd was like, "Fuck that movie."
They're all at the bar getting wasted.
Getting wasted, yeah. Getting too drunk, probably.
Probably. And prepping their tomatoes like the third row. So, yeah, it's definitely an understanding of like business. Like, you know, it's easy to just go, yeah, fuck it. They need to fuck the mainstream. They just need to be for the movie people, the people that give a fuck about cinema, don't have the comedians. You know, this is how we fix the show, have more celebrations and weave the history of film within this. We should get more video packages, you know, recognizing actors, film anniversaries, all this kind of stuff. It would be awesome. You could have that kind of stuff. Mm. But then again, like who is watching and what does that audience do and how much money can you make? That's just the sad reality of it. So I don't think we're ever going to get to a happy medium of where that is. But
no.
No,
we won't.
Yeah.
But very depressing. Very depressing. Yeah. Point you just made. It made me very sad.
But then here we are every year, you know, like we're the type of people that will still, you know, read the results.
Yeah, I come back every year. I watched Green Book win fucking Best Picture and I came back.
Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. 75th anniversary, I think it is. No, 50th anniversary? 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. 75. So,
not yet.
Hoo-ha! So, yeah, overall show, not really a fan. I reckon they need to ditch the comedians. And pay more respect to film and the film industry.
So. It's funny you say that because, like, I mentioned Billy Crystal before, and I mean, maybe this is just from being younger, but I remember watching him do it, and it felt more like a prestigious event when he was doing it, hosting the Oscars, and it felt more like he was more of a showman. And how many people have those skills anymore? Do you know what I mean? To, like, be able to host and also perform and play to a crowd and be funny, but also be respectful of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, what was Amy Schumer in Trainwreck? What was, you know, Billy Crystal in fucking Plenty? So, I'm trying to think, like you were saying, more respect, I guess, is the thing. Like, it's easy to make fun of celebrities, and there are some funny jokes that people say, but at the end of the day, like, sometimes they're making fun of the industry, and, you know, fucking Hollywood is tarnished. Like, you know, they're not the nicest people and nicest practices happening, but for one night, can we just celebrate the films,
the craft,
not the stuff that people love?
Yeah, the art, not the system that creates the art in America, but the actual. It's supposed to be about the love of the art form, right? And the people who, like, spend their entire life mastering, doing this one thing and expressing themselves through this one thing.
Yep. So yeah, that's. That's pretty much it. That's how Oscars
covered it all. Covered it all.
I don't think there's anything else. Oh, of course, Rachel Zegler. She, you know, your manufactured controversy. She ended up becoming a presenter just days after we recorded our Oscars nomination podcast. So she made a funny joke about that.
Yeah. What was that? So, do you think that? I think she was always in line to be a presenter.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think? You think that was a last minute? You think that was a last-minute change? Who'd they kick out? Who was already
DJ
lined
Khaled,
up?
Bro, you're out. Just introduce the ladies at
just,
the start.
Just, so. Yeah, stand, just show off. Up for 5 minutes.
Yeah, just fuck off. Cool. I guess we better speak about... I forgot about this. Will Smith. Chris Rock was up on stage. What is this? Did this happen? Just watching the video now. Oh, okay, well. Chris Rock up on stage presenting Best Documentary, which obviously went to Summer of Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cracking the wise ones, saying a joke about Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. And Will Smith gets up, walks over to Chris Rock, who's like, uh-oh, and then straight up slaps him in the face, walks back.
Right.
And then, delivers whatever the lines he said. Keep your wife's name.
Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah. And then he said it again.
The second time, the first time, slower and more emphasis. the first time, you're like, this is serious. And the second time, you're like, oh, this guy's out of his fucking mind.
Yes, that's right. So, of course, yeah, we've been dodging it and playing funnies for the whole episode, but I guess wanted to shine the light on all the other stuff first.
Stuff that matters,
you're waiting
really.
If you're still here, that's right. Or are we doing that thing where you would make you listen to the whole podcast? That's right. No timestamps for you. You fast forward, get to the moment. So I guess what did you make of this? Because I was watching this on delay, so I'm only just seeing the tweets about it. Like
I was working a 10-hour day, and I was just checking my phone on Twitter, and I was like, what? Will Smith, all I read was Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. And I was like, okay, well, that's obviously a bit. And then I watched it and I was like, And then you see him screaming obscenities. Like when he goes and sits back down, you're like, oh, that's not a bit. That is an unhinged man yelling things at a presenter. And then everybody was sort of cracking the funnies, but I feel like I got emotional like whiplash from it later on where I was like, yeah, I don't think violently assaulting a dude is cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was just doing his job. He probably didn't even write that joke, you know?
Probably not.
That was probably something given to, like, you know, that was on a teleprompter, probably. There's a good chance that he, you know, there were writers for these things. They usually have this stuff. It's not just like, go out there and wing it. This stuff that's...
I don't know. I reckon Chris Rock is a comedian. He comes up with his own shit.
He could, but I'm really not sure that... And I mean, I felt like it was pretty innocuous. Like, it wasn't particularly nasty.
It was definitely like... Yeah, it was no, like, nastiness in it at all.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, for Will Smith, it was, like, a combination of things and more than kind of just that moment and that joke at the time.
So absolutely,
it must have been
some
kind of boiling point. Of course, he's recently done his autobiography where he talks about, like, not standing up for his mother at the time. So maybe he has that in the forefront of his mind, among other controversies that have rocked his family over the years. You know, the whole Scientology thing, the whole... affair thing or open marriage stuff with Jada
polyamory is very healthy, obviously.
Yeah. with all that kind of stuff, and then what she's dealing with as well. So maybe it was just like he had that in his mind, and that was like the next. If this happens fucking again, Chris Rock making the jokes about Jada in 2015 or 16 when he was hosting as well, saying you're not invited, and the whole Rihanna panty line and all that that kind of stuff. So pretty fucking cringe stuff, but like obviously I did a tweet like, you know, like Will Smith standing up for his wife and slapping the shit out of Chris Rock. I was like, bravo, like clap emoji. There's a few ways to look at it. Like, he definitely should not have done it. 100% definitely shouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He 100% shouldn't have done it on TV in front
at the
of
Oscars.
Fucking millions, like just
there's some,
like, a worldwide audience.
I mean, to put it in perspective, like, it is a guy getting up and assaulting another man at an award. Like, it's fucking crazy, dude. And I wholeheartedly agree that defending your spouse is a good thing. And, you know, people were like, well, Chris Rock disrespected her publicly, so Will Smith should be allowed to defend her publicly. And I guess I agree with that. I don't know, dude. I can't feel good about watching a dude at a job. Technically, he's getting paid to be there, he's and being assaulted by, you know, if you break it down to our level, if you go to your work function buddy and start slapping motherfuckers,
I'm not gonna be slapping.
You're gonna
anyway.
Be in trouble, dude. You know 100%. What I mean? They're not gonna have you. They're not going to give you an award 20 minutes later and have you giving speeches about peace and love.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, like, Will Smith doesn't work for them, right? Like, he gets...
No, Will Smith doesn't work for them, but, like, if Chris Rock...
It's a private
function. They owe a duty
of care. It's a private function, and he assaulted someone at that...
At the private function, I guess.
Like, at the private function, yeah. Like, paid to be there, so...
And he's... Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Oh, my perspective is just like, you know, if Will Smith really wanted to do that, and like if he, like, fine, I'm happy with him if he wants to do that, but like not on TV and not there. Like, if he should definitely have said and sorted that out privately. Now, if he wanted to go backstage and like, hey, Chris, that's fucked. Yeah, like you just keep talking shit about me, talking shit about my wife all this time. And if he still had that kind of fucking energy where he wanted to like slap Chris Rock in the face, so be it. I would accept.
Yeah,
I would also accept that. But the fact that it was like at that very moment, and he walked up onto the stage to do it, was just like,
and
that's not a smart idea, man.
Chris Rock didn't know he was getting slapped. He thought, I think from the look of his face, he thought Will Smith was going to do a bit,
make a joke. Yeah,
yeah,
do a bit.
I can't help but feel that if you're gonna hit somebody, I think that, okay, look, you know me, I'm in a quiet taste. I've been punched in my face before. It's nice to know that it's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a little bit respectful to just be like, look, I'm about to rock your shit, all right? So you're talking a lot of smack, and now I'm going to smack the shit out you.
Well, that's why you got slapped, right? You know, a slap is nothing. Like, it was a decent slap.
It was a decent slap. It's not like he's going to kill it. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not like fucking Judd Apatow out here, like him tweeting, like, Judd Apatow, he could have killed him. That's pure out of control rage and violence. Could be right on that.
I know.
They've heard a million jokes about them in the last 3 decades. Okay, so just keep hearing the jokes. They are not freshmen in the world of Hollywood and comedy. He lost his mind, and he absolutely did have a brain explosion. But the fact, that Judd opens this with he could have killed him,
he couldn't have killed him.
Instant fucking subconscious racist fucking red flags. Like, if there's any fucking, if there's two Jewish, if Seth Rogen is up there fucking slapping the shit out of Franco, you ruined my career. There's no way Judd Apatow is tweeting he could have killed him.
No, he's like,
I think there's been a lot of responses like that on the internet. Like, they should have arrested him on the spot, or they should have fucking escorted him from the building, or all this shit. Like, I would have loved to have seen it if it was not Will Smith. Someone else, like, would that react?
If it was someone else, they would have been gone.
You reckon?
If it's not the biggest movie, if it's not one of the biggest movie stars in the world that you're about to give Best Actor to in 20 minutes of time,
well, that's
you're out of there. You're fucking out of there. If you roll up anywhere, buddy, and start slapping people, they're gonna ask you to leave. They're going to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you have a podcast. They're going to ask you to leave.
Well, I'm not going to show up to PAX, you know, slapping down my my enemies at all. No, never. I would never do that. So
your enemies, like Michael Corleone.
Yeah, I'm going to get someone else. Someone walks by. This one's for Buddy Watson. Buddy Watson sends his regards. Little gut punch.
Yeah.
Don't go against the family. Don't go against the podcast.
Don't ever go against the podcast.
Don't ever go against the cause. So, yeah, maybe there's stuff like that. But it's been like, I feel like it's been blown way out of proportion. I get assault and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And it was absolutely 100% wrong that he did that.
But it's also a slap between two grown men.
That's right. People like charges, arrestings, blah, blah. Nah. It definitely made the rest of the show awkward, but it's like, I feel like a lot of people that are commenting this have never been in any kind of confrontation.
Physical altercation.
For physical altercation. And that's good, but I think it comes from a place of privilege and kind of maybe like over, like, I don't want to say, kind of oversensitivity. Like, you're acting like, this is like the fucking biggest thing in the world. Like, if it wasn't on TV, it would be nothing. No one would be talking about this. Like, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock backstage. Like, no one would be like, oh my God, he could have killed him, or fucking.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess it's just violence
in
the eye. It's the shock of it.
Yeah.
And it having like, and the repercussions of people seeing it. I don't think it's like everyone's going to be like, oh, I can just walk up and fucking slap people now, or I can just do whatever the fuck I want. Like, I don't think people are seeing Will Smith and going like,
yeah, because you're, well, not Will Smith.
I can
Will
do
Smith.
This. I can mimic this, because, you know, we're not crazy people. Only crazy people would have those problems. Like,
yeah. Do you think I read a tweet that I thought was really interesting, that if you think about Will Smith, it seems like for the last 30 years, he's been intensely micromanaging his image.
Yeah, 100%. And this guy's a PR fucking wet dream.
Yes, and at the highest point of his career, he just snapped under the internal pressure 20 minutes before. He had it. He had it in the bag. He had done it. He was the most fun-loving guy that everybody liked, and if you didn't watch his YouTube reality shit, you'd have no idea that his personal life is fucked. And he's, like, courting Scientology and is maybe a little bit of a narcissist. And you would just think like, yeah, I love Will Smith, I love Men in Black, and then you'd be like, what, this is quite shocking.
I never really liked Will Smith anyway. I don't think he's a great actor, but that has really no opinions of him as a person or an actor. Really don't have any kind of weight in what he did here. Actually, for me, I was like, I'm glad he stood up, whether that was the right decision or wrong decision. It was absolutely the wrong decision to do where he did it at the time, if he still felt that way when he cooled down out backstage and has words, that's a private thing. But to do it on like this whole massive fucking worldwide stage, yeah, definitely a problem there. And a problem that could come back to bite him. Of course, the Academy have come out and they've tweeted, "Does not condone violence of any form. Tonight, we're delighted to celebrate our 94th Academy Award winners who deserve this moment of recognition from their peers and movie lovers around the world." Will Smith today, "Violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Jokes at my expense are part of the job." That sucks that says it. That is a part of his job.
Do you think so?
But...
You're a public figure.
I'm not.
No, not you. Him. but it's like,
yeah, I'm not a public figure. Stop making jokes at my expense.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll stop. Accounts. Yeah. No, I just mean like, dude, I don't think that's
the worst he's ever had.
It's not a big like you're a multimillionaire. You make movies for a living.
Kuna Matata.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to shrug some stuff off, my dude. You've got it better than 99% of the entire world ever will or could ever dream of having.
I guess the problem is this massive...
Cry into your scotch in your fucking mansion next to your Oscar later that night. But yeah, don't be a little... Like, I don't know. I feel like it's the other spectrum of privilege where like...
100%.
You've never just had to eat some disrespect because like, you know what I mean? You've never been chewed out at a job when you didn't deserve it just because somebody else fucked up or something like that. You never had to be like, bro, this guy, like this dude's fucking talking mad shit to me and, you know, I just got to fucking eat it here because I'm the bigger man. You know what I mean? And it just reeks of a little bit like, yeah, man.
I've had those moments.
I think you just, you know what I mean? Like if you are a person who lives an extremely privileged lifestyle in certain aspects of your life, when it comes to your wealth and, you know, having the career of your dreams and all that other shit that a lot of people will never get to have, that being made fun of occasionally is a very, very cheap price to pay to have that.
Yeah. He also said, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear and I reacted emotionally. I'd like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line. I was wrong. I was embarrassed and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. Also like to apologize, Academy. Blah, 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 blah. I don't like how it ends. I am a work in progress and just like, yeah, like you're kind of, it's kind of an excuse. Once again, yeah, I'm a work in progress. Like you don't really need that kind of line in there. Yeah. And as far as his speech, the whole Denzel thing, I think Denzel's line is great. And maybe, Will didn't kind of take that in the right way. Maybe he like went out there and kind of, I don't know if his publicist was in his ear or not.
Yeah, there was a photo immediately during the ad break of the publicist all like swarming him and like in his ear, like talking to him.
So maybe that's why he came up and that was kind of the speech that he delivered, because I thought the speech was quite fucking ordinary. He had his moment to apologize to the Academy, apologize to Chris Rock if he wanted to, but then to kind of tie it back into the film's themes with King Richard, making the joke about being the crazy dad, and then, you know, the Williams sisters and being protective and being protective of his family and bringing religion into it and like being called to action. Like that was just total bullshit for me. And he could have just went up there and he's crying. I don't think he's putting on that act. He's definitely going through some emotions, like, of everything that's happening. But he could have just went up there and said, "Look, and I apologize." And he could have done this whole thing now. Violence is not good.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I overreacted. I shouldn't have done that. There was really no excuse. And I apologize. He could have said all that and been honest with that right there and then. But to veil it behind, like...
They can't be honest. They can't be real. I feel like there has to be this, like... veil of, you know, intellectualism or like, you know, love and flowers and a call from God, like, you know what I mean? They have to put this,
they can't be real. That's right,
it's a performance, you know what I mean?
100%.
I think the tears were real, but I think that was like it wasn't a real from the heart speech, I don't think.
Yep. So it's just it just felt like a bunch of excuses. This is your moment to just say, look, I apologize. Like, this is how I honestly feel. You know, my life in the last 3 years or whatever, 4 years, 5 years, like, you know, I've got people punching down on me and I should know better. But we've gone through some tough, you know, I've gone tough stuff in my personal life, sickness, blah, blah, blah. And it just got to me. And there's no excuse for it to get me. There shouldn't be a breaking point. But it's what happened. And I apologize. And yeah, if you wanted to apologize to Chris, then he probably should have done that as well, especially because he's come out today. I was thinking, like, this guy's just not going to apologize to Chris Rock, and I'm like, well, if that's how he feels, then fine. But if he's come out today and you know, apologize, maybe that's just another PR stunt. You should have done it yesterday.
It's the PR
on,
team.
On the telecast, yeah. You should have denounced violence right there.
The PR team has gauged.
Quick, Will, write it in your notes app. It'll look genuine.
Yeah, well, he didn't even write it. Like, the PR team wrote it. They sent it to the social media team. He okayed it, and then it went up. That's how it happened. That's what happened. but I just have to say that if I'm ever in a situation where I slap somebody, I'm getting you to write my apology, because
me,
pretty good, pretty good. I think your improvised Will Smith apology, pretty. I think you could have saved face. I think if he had you on the team, he would have came out looking a little bit better.
Well, I've slapped a few people. I haven't. I've probably slapped maybe one person in my life. I've probably been slapped more, actually.
You know what? You seem like a guy who's been slapped more.
Look, I was a cheeky person on the football fields, and I used to be a little bit, you know, talky and get into people's ears and maybe irritate people. But, you know, they should expect that in their line of sport playing. You know, it's just a little banter, but some people can't handle that. And, you know, I want to get a little bit punchy on my face. And I just had to, you know, act all innocent and cop it. But good times. Fuck. I've tried to avoid so many fights in my life. Successfully, too. For the most part. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So yeah, Will Smith. Crazy. It'll be a moment that'll be replayed for years and years. Can I just say the quality of meme that is coming out right now?
It is. We are in a golden age of memes.
They're just like popping up. You know, Dave Chappelle, you know.
This is like the industrial
revolution. China Murphy! Like Rick James, bitch.
Seeing so many hot... there's been so many crazy hot takes, but the one I have seen the most that was I thought was the funniest was all the comedians acting like it was their 9/11. They're like, oh, this is serious.
Oh my god, everybody's gonna walk gonna up slap and me. Slap us now. I'm like, oh my
Dave
god,
Chappelle's like, next.
I don't think that's what's gonna happen. There's no reason will be
nobody's slapping you for your Tinder jokes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Jesus Christ. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the wrap for our Oscars
wrapped
review,
up.
I guess. Show itself sucked. The Will Smith moment was fucking... It was this generation's Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, I feel.
Yeah.
Everyone from this age will be like, oh, remember the Oscars when blah, blah, blah. Like,
do you remember that time? Will Smith will never be able to release another movie without this being discussed somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
It will be the hallmark of his career for like the rest of his life.
I saw a funny tweet, like, one thing's for certain, this is going to be the worst episode or, you know, episode you want to avoid the most, like, this week of Saturday Night Live. I'm just like, it's so fucking true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trash though. So, yeah. All right. Thanks for coming along, Paul. Thanks for discussing Oscars. Of course, Coda won Best Picture, big love. And then Kristen Stewart was robbed.
Robbed, and I swear my revenge.
We won't talk about that anymore. Paul, and the people can find you on all the socials.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at @DayRecluse, and that's if you want to come yell at me for being wrong about things, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Get in while the getting's good.
That's right. And if you want to virtually slap me, you can. I'm at BuddyWatson12. The podcast is at RadioWatson_. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all good podcast services, and now on YouTube as well in video format the last week. So thank you for that. That actually turned out decently somehow. I don't know. I'm a technical fucking nightmare and train wreck, but I've somehow learned how to do some of this stuff.
You came through.
Yeah. I was told all these years, like, It's hard and you know you need the help of someone else, and it's almost like keeping me at bay, like with these skills that aren't actually that hard. So who would have known? Just Google.
I mean, all anything ever takes is practice. You know what I mean? Just give it a go.
Yeah.
That's the message of the episode. Give it a go. And if you want to slap somebody,
don't.
Well, or do. I mean, you know, I'm not your father.
You've got a boxing bag out the back there, so you can at least let out your aggression, like, you know, seeing people tweet you about Kristen Stewart and rubbing it in. Like, Paul's just like, got a, like, Twitter bird icon, fucking paste it under the bag, hitting it with combos left, right, and center. So me, I'll just cry into pillows. But yeah, thanks to everyone that's listened this far. Apologies for leaving all the juicy stuff at the end, but I really wanted to put a highlight on all the good stuff. Even though I say that we memed Kristen Stewart getting robbed first, but you kind of had to, you know, have a little bit of fun. But then jumping onto Coda, of course, that massive upset and creating history there with its a sweep of its three awards, first streaming service to movie to kind of win. Of course, Roma in the last year or two had that nomination, only got best director, but breaking down new ground, specifically in the era of pandemic and different distribution models. So maybe the Oscars will change based on those trends, and maybe we will see it on Netflix and all the other streaming services beamed into the world at the same time. So, but until next time, on behalf of Paul, myself, Buddy Watson, this is Radio Watson out.
There's a new joke going around. Have you heard it? What did the five fingers say to the face?
What?
Slap!
What?
Slap!
What?
Slap!